Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. She is joined by co-host Dr. Christana and producer Mike Clark. This dynamic, sometimes crazy, sometimes funny, and always entertaining trio will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the Health of It.
Hello, everyone. We're back in the studio. And once again, we have Dr. Margaret Mikolas, naturopath out of Nashua, New Hampshire. Her company is called Living Natural. And before we get right into how to help your body heal from thyroid issues, I just want to tell you a little bit more about Dr. Mikolas. She has a family practice that focuses on chronic and infectious disease. In fact, she has advanced training in vector-borne illness, autoimmune, and endocrine disorders. A naturopathic degree is at the National College of Natural Medicine. And this rock star woman is actually on clinical faculty at the Kripalu School of Ayurveda. And I think one of the most exciting things that I know about her is that most recently, she was appointed as a board member of the National Ayurvedic Medical Association. And just briefly, she owns Blue Buddha Botanicals, which is an herbal line that helps people all over. She grows her herbs around the world, most recently right here in New Hampshire. And I got to go see all the cool stuff, the calendula and the oregano. I don't know. What else did we see growing at the farm? It was so cool. Yeah,
lots of different things.
Lots of different herbs.
Wormwood, Don Quai, Artemisia, ashwagandha.
Are you swearing at me? That's what it sounds like.
Sneezing.
And if you listen to the last show, we set the stage to understand the function of the thyroid gland, how it might get out of balance, and what a clinical picture would look like with someone with a hypo or hyperfunctioning thyroid gland. So today we want to get at the meat and the heart of, okay, what do we do about this? So welcome, Dr. Mikolas.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Thank you for being here. So let's say someone comes to you in practice, they've already been recently diagnosed with, say, a hypofunctioning thyroid, and they come to you and they say, doc, I got to start taking care of this. Tell me what I can do. And let's say they really want to know, even naturally, what can they do to help their body rebalance their thyroid hormone?
Sure. Yeah. Typically, I'm in both situations where I'm either diagnosing or somebody's been diagnosed and maybe they've done a round of treatment and it's stalled or it hasn't moved forward. So I think there's a lot to really consider. One is this just an underactive gland and what piece of it is the problem? Like, are we dealing with thyroid stimulating hormone is a really sensitive test, but the reality is that, you know, this might not be the only thing that you need to be looking at. So what's happening at the level of the peripheral hormone? Is it a receptor issue? Is there a conversion issue? This is what we're talking about here. And so, but the reality is you really want to establish, or I try to establish whether or not this is an immune problem or if this is just an underactive gland. And in many cases in my clinical practice, it is an immune problem. So that adds another sphere to it that you really need to pay attention to. But if somebody's, you know, it's a very common prescription for people to be put on what's referred to is T4, and this is commonly known as, one of the drugs is commonly known as is Synthroid. And so oftentimes that can be a sure fit, that can work well for people, but in many cases it doesn't work well. And so people can come to me with, they've done a trial with Synthroid and they just don't feel like they've really, you know, shifted their clinical picture. And so I might say, okay, well, let's look at your T3. Let's see what's going on at the level of that active hormone. Because when we're talking about active hormone, we're talking about T4 and T3. And these are iodine molecules. So T4 loses an iodine molecule. This is the most simplest biochemistry I can give you, but loses an iodine molecule and becomes T3. And this is your active hormone. And so if that's low and you're only receiving Synthroid, which is T4, then this could be part of the issue. And so sometimes I'll recommend that the person either tries a little bit of T3, which they can do with a synthetic form called Cytomel, or if that they're not really, you know, responding well to the Synthroid, I might say, okay, well, let's try something different. Let's try a Naturethroid or a Westthroid or a compounded thyroid hormone that you can actually get at a local compounding pharmacy.
So what if someone comes to you and says, okay, I've been on Synthroid for 12 years, and as far as I know, I'm functioning well on it. It's working for me, but I don't want to take a chemical drug the rest of my life, and that's what I've been told I have to do. Do they have alternatives to to something more natural that may work?
So the answer is it's a trial. And the reality is that is not the most common clinical scenario I see, but that is a common clinical scenario. And what I typically try to establish is, does that mean that their numbers look good and that they're stabilized with their labs? Or does that mean that they actually really feel good? If they're actually really feeling good, and there's other, you know, things that are going on in their health, I think it's always worth it to address those other things. But if they're not feeling good, then I think you have to really establish if this is really working. Now, oftentimes, if this person has a thyroid disorder, there's something else that's going on. There could be something adrenal mediated, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there are people that have actually stopped taking their thyroid hormone, but where it gets tricky, especially in that scenario, like you're saying, whether it's 12 years, 15, 30, 5, mm-hmm. You know, at some point, if there is an autoimmune response, we're dealing with some damage at the level of the gland. And so it's just a matter of really doing trial and error. And I think it's important to establish like nutritional status and to really provide people with the most optimal nutrition, you know, in order for them to support the gland. But whether or not they can actually get off their thyroid hormone, that's trial and error. That's something that you have to try. And sometimes it doesn't work. And in many cases, it doesn't work, actually.
So, but would you say it's possible that someone could regain balance and health in their life without having to rely on a chemical drug?
Absolutely. But I think that person really needs to establish what it is that's, you know, perpetuating, like what is it that's causing the issue at the level of their health? Like,
yeah.
It's not usually, can I say like, oh, if they just started taking vitamin D that was going to, you know, turn things around for them?
Sure.
Probably not. It does become a little bit more complicated, but I think that there are things that a person can do to really, really try to go for it and try to see if they can, you know, change their health dramatically in order to try to help the thyroid gland. So yes, I think you can turn it around. I just think it takes like an extraordinary effort.
What I see happen is that someone might get to the place in their life where they say, I don't want a drug, but they want, say, a natural element, something, a potion, a lotion, a something to do the same thing the drug was doing. It's still very outside in thinking. And I know with thyroid, like you said in the last show, it's complicated. Many, many systems are involved. So if it was sick enough to get to that point, it's likely something with extraordinary effort to rebalance.
So yes, the answer is yes. And I would say like, okay, well, if that person, I know you're asking me questions, but let's reflect on this for just 1 second, because we were talking about how if there was a cervical or a thoracic injury that caused a curvature and the person was on thyroid hormone, because again, like that, the cervical spine was affecting the thyroid and yes. That person never decided to do something with that. Would you view that as being like an incredible obstacle to heal?
Absolutely.
And so what I'm saying is if like, that's what we have to establish. We have to figure out what all those things are that are playing a role to cause the damage. To answer your question, though, what I think you're getting at is, are there natural-based hormones that a person can take for hormone replacement that are as good as the synthetic version?
Yes.
And the answer is yes. And I mentioned those, Westroid, Naturethroid, Compounding, Armor. All of those are really good hormones to consider. Now, some people don't respond as well to natural-based hormones, and some people don't respond as well to synthetic based.
Okay.
It's all a matter of trial. I've had it both ways. I've actually had people say, I actually felt better when I was on the Synthroid, and I've had people say, now I feel so much better now that I'm on the Armor or the Westroid or the Naturethroid. So it's what it comes down to is really getting in tune with your patient, understanding what it is they need. If they have a T3 issue, so the forms that are natural based have a combination of T4 and T3, and T4 to T3, 4:1 ratio, okay, T4 to T3. And so if the person has a low T3 and you're only giving them T4, which is what Synthroid is, you might not be hitting it right with them. And so what I found is sometimes people can actually do a lot better with a little bit more of the T3. In fact, it can make a world of difference for a patient. Now, in the meantime, how do you buy the time? Well, you want to treat their immune system. Again, if we're talking about Hashimoto's, or even in the case of Graves, where you might get a case of Graves where somebody's had their thyroid suppressed, that they become hypothyroid, and then you have to replace with hormone. But you have to deal with the immune system. So as you're using hormone replacement, if you're missing the boat and not really targeting that immune system and decreasing the inflammation and the inflammatory processes that are happening, you're really not doing everything that you can for the patient. So the thyroid needs nutrition. Okay. And the thyroid needs immune support. So these are some things that really need to be considered.
This is a great place to stop, take a break. And when we get back, let's talk specifically about what type of nutrition and immune support our bodies need for a healthy thyroid.
You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the southern New Hampshire area, mention this radio show and schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny for just $47. That's a $250 value for just $47. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 673-5600. To find a chiropractor in your area, go to www.chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now back to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
We're back from break and we're talking to Dr. Margaret Miklas about thyroid health and what can we do to help strengthen our thyroid and heal a broken thyroid, basically. And I what I really want to get into here is if you were listening to the first show we did on thyroid, one of the first things I said was this is such a complicated gland, and if it gets out of whack, it's so complicated that as a healthcare practitioner, I chose to just leave that to people who specialize in thyroid. Like, I'm not even going to try to become this mini thyroid expert, which is why you're here, Dr. Miklas. And what I'm hearing from you is that really, if there's enough decrease in health in the body that the thyroid becomes imbalanced, it's not just one simple thing. There's so many complicating factors. And as you said, the thyroid affects every cell in our body. So working with a healthcare practitioner who really understands the thyroid and look at the body as a multi-organ functioning human being with everything intercorrelated, it's so critical for thyroid health. So that's one approach that I appreciate in you. And I also think it makes it almost impossible to just chunk it down to just a few, just do this when we're talking on the air. But having said that, maybe for this next short segment, we can delve a bit into some practical things that people can do to strengthen or continue the health of the thyroid gland. Do you want to speak for a moment about iodine, how we can have healthy levels of iodine in our body, maybe what we can do to ensure that we have that?
Sure. So this is sort of an interesting concept because, you know, lots of people are afraid of iodine and all the medical list serves. Like, there's so much different, I would say, consideration when it comes to iodine, because again, too much or too little, it's hard to say. The RDA says one thing and, you know, the folks in Japan do another thing, and it's a little bit tricky. But the reality is the body does need iodine, and there is considered to be like areas of the country that are very iodine deficient and areas in the world that are iodine deficient. And so our response to that, you know, as a country, you know, we iodize salt. And so not sure that that's the best form of iodine, but the reality is we do need iodine. It's extremely important. There's no really great test for understanding if you're iodine deficient, but we can all assume, just because our soils are extremely depleted, that iodine deficiency can be a factor with thyroid health. And so getting enough, I think dietary sources are really important, but again, there's limited dietary sources.
Oh, come on, there's kelp. Don't we all have kelp, just unbelievable amounts of kelp in our diet?
Right, so there's kelp and there's seafood and there's things of this nature, but oftentimes we're not getting enough. And because our soils are depleted, typically you'll find in an average multivitamin, you will find some iodine. And so the reality is this is something that I think that people need to be careful with. Oftentimes people feel fairly safe with doing microgram doses of iodine, but once you start to get into the milligram doses, people get a little bit concerned. I think that some iodine needs to be established. And again, the reality is that I'm looking at the patient as a whole. So whether or not somebody needs to be on iodine across the board or not with a thyroid should be determined by a practitioner.
Well, I know coconut oil is great with the thyroid issue, as well as healthy fats are actually good for thyroid. I've read quite a bit about eating, you know, healthy organic butter, even especially ghee, which is clarified butter.
Absolutely.
Egg yolks, cod liver oil. That's, you know, we really all need more of that in our diet anyway.
So vitamin A, D, zinc, selenium. And interestingly enough, like, why do we think of things that we think of? But this morning I was thinking of coconut oil and why coconut oil was good for the thyroid, which there's probably multiple reasons. But coconut oil is a medium chain fat, and we utilize it very readily as metabolic fat. And so in thinking about just like that connection between how the thyroid is so metabolic and how it really helps us to utilize, you know, and to create energy in the body. If this is a really good energy that we're putting in our body, then it would make sense that the thyroid be able to utilize it optimally. Mm-hmm. I would also say with ghee, again, ghee is a saturated fat, right? It's perfect food, really. Mm-hmm. And so again, a really, really perfect fat, you know, for us to utilize, same reason as coconut oil. I think this is why. Also, coconut oil is extremely antiviral. So in thinking yes. about, you know, potential infectious causes of thyroid disease, coconut oil is a good one.
And it's a high heat oil, meaning you can actually cook with it as opposed to olive oil.
And the same thing with ghee and butter. So mm-hmm. you can, those saturated fats, you actually can cook them at high temperature without them worrying about them oxidizing.
I remember my wife had a natural healing book, and they had a little segment in there, and they recommended doing something called a thyroid thumper. Have you ever heard of that?
Like tapping on your thyroid? Yeah, absolutely. And this was sort of something that you mentioned actually at your lecture,
yes,
Jenny.
You can actually take your fingers and kind of cup either side of the gland right at the front of your throat and just push back and forth. And
what does that do? Stimulate it?
It stimulates it. So even if you feel like sometimes you can actually feel little adhesions on either side and you kind of push to the right, push to the left just a little bit and just move it back and forth just to stimulate
so
it.
So do you recommend that? Yes.
Absolutely. And again, thinking about like it's a really highly vascularized gland. So this is something that in thinking about, you know, giving it some stimulation, it makes a lot of sense that you would want to stimulate this gland.
Well, and interestingly, you know, you think about most commonly we're in a head forward position, sitting at a computer. And even just putting your head back and stretching your throat open can help increase blood supply to the thyroid. So just, you know, any type of neck movement forward, back, stimulate it directly. It's really good. Going back to food, I just want to mention too that actually another food we should avoid for thyroid health is any type of soy products that are not fermented. So for example, any type of fermented non-GMO organic soy sauce type stuff, that's okay. But unless it's actually fermented, just plain old soy can actually do harm to the thyroid gland, which soy's everywhere.
So there's a class.
It's not so good, is it?
No, it's not. And I think, again, like, and I'll comment on that, and then I'd like to say one thing about goitrogens. But, and one of the things I think in thinking, I thought about soy this morning when thinking about coconut oil. Soy, if it's a GMO based soy, again, like, if our body's perceiving it from an immune standpoint and saying, wow, we're reacting to this, this is not good for us, again, you're perpetuating that whole immune response. And so there's confusion that's happening with the immune system if this food is not a good food that you can assimilate. And again, you're creating an antibody response. So, you know, if we're thinking about something that could potentially suppress the thyroid or have a negative effect on the thyroid, soy is up there. Other goitrogens like the brassica family, uncooked. So uncooked cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli is a consideration. So this cauliflower, these types of things, just make sure you're cooking them. And you can look online for a good list of goitrogens in order to really familiarize yourself with that. But those are some foods. Now, 100%, they're not documented as being like the number one cause of thyroid suppression. But I think it's worth it. Like, you know, we were saying before, like, okay, well, if your neck's out of balance, you have some sort of subluxation, why not fix it? Again, like, why not fix the diet if you know that it could potentially cause harm?
Well, and, you know, just, you might want to know this, Mike.
I want to know, yes.
Oysters.
Really? I don't like oysters.
Oysters are really high in zinc. And so zinc being connected to not only just our immune system, but also in just reactions that the thyroid gland has and thyroid hormone based.
And there's actually copper and iron and iodine in oysters.
So you're saying eat oysters.
Yeah, but you know, who's going to go eat like, you know, 10 oysters a day? It's just one of those things you're not going to get in high amounts unless maybe you...
They're an aphrodisiac too, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. And
So more reasons to eat oysters.
Maybe that should be the summary of the show is we all need to eat more oysters. Okay.
Vitamin D. Did anybody mention vitamin D? I know you mentioned cod liver oil, but sort of like vitamin D is
vitamin D.
Very important, but it is really important, I would say, in regards to, again, going back to immune system, going back to synthesis. Particularly production of thyroid hormone at the level of the pituitary gland.
You mentioned one of the herbs that you're growing for your herbal line Blue Buddha is ashwagandha. And I had never, ever heard of this herb before. So before we close, I would love for you to explain a little bit of the benefits of ashwagandha, because that's actually one of the herbs that helps with thyroid, correct?
Absolutely. And I might add, it's a great adaptogen. It is an Indian plant. It's considered the Indian ginseng, Withania somnifera. And it's a beautiful plant. You use the root primarily, actually. It's also referred to as the sweat of seven horses. So it gives us a lot of energy.
Wow.
But it does have a great effect on the thyroid gland in supporting. It also helps to build muscle. So oftentimes when you see people with hypothyroidism, you know, they talk about the fact that they can't build muscle. Like maybe there was quite a bit of laxity at the level of the musculature. Mm-hmm. It helps the adrenal gland. It supports the thyroid. It's really important for the immune system. And I would say that with a lot of my clients that I've had with thyroid dysfunction, if it fits their constitution well, it can be an extremely supportive plant to use.
Is it usually in capsule form or tincture form?
Sure. You can take it in tincture. I often encapsulate it. You can actually, it has quite a sweet taste. Use the root. So there's a sweetness to it and it's very building. It's extremely safe plant. I've actually used it in milk with ghee and ashwagandha and turmeric and some sort of sweetener as like a drink. That's a really great way to give it to kids.
Oh, wow.
When you need to administer it to children and if they have a thyroid issue, it's perfect, or an immune issue, this can be really perfect. It's just one of these great plants that I've had some excellent success with, and I'd say it's a go-to plant in many constitutions with thyroid disease.
So, Dr. Miklas, if someone wants to know more about your Blue Buddha line of herbal plants, how would they find out more? Is there an online website for that?
They can call my office and speak with my office manager and schedule some time if they would like to speak with me.
So we'd find out more basically by livingnaturalinc.com.
At this point, that's the best way. Yes.
Okay, great. And if somebody's, say, listening and they're from, I don't know, Tennessee or Wyoming, and they're thinking, I want some ashwagandha, what's the best way for them to get some? Is it at any health food store?
You could probably find a good source at a reputable health food store.
Well, I think something else I've been learning with, you know, just over all these years working with practice members, is a good adjunct to chiropractic care or any other natural form of healthcare is having a good herbalist, Ayurvedic physician, naturopath, someone that you can rely on to really help you understand the entire body system and help you recover from blocks to healing. So is there an international site for Ayurvedic physicians?
Absolutely. Well, actually, there's not an international site, but there's the National Ayurvedic Medical Association, and they have a practitioner area that you can find a practitioner in your local area. So that would be a great way to find out good sources for plants. And then the American Herbalist Guild is another resource in the United States where I would say would be a good go-to if somebody wanted to find good sources for plant-based medicine.
Great. And I'm assuming, just in closing here, that this is, you know, maybe a whole nother level of healthcare than many people have experienced before. And I just encourage you to see that there is a better way. And the ultimate goal, of course, that we have in chiropractic, that we see with any type of natural doctor, is helping the body remove blocks to its own healing. You know, we really know and believe that the body was designed to heal and function at a very high level. And if we can learn to live congruently with that function, and when it gets out of balance, we can find the most natural ways to allow our body to be in balance, we're actually creating health. So I appreciate you for aligning with that philosophy and taking your time to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I would just add that it's so important in establishing whatever is contributing to your health. So if you have a diagnosis of anything at all, whether it's thyroid disease or anything, you really need to figure out all the components of what that is. And sometimes it's outside of that system, and that's the bottom line.
That's it. That's right. Thank you so much. Be well,
thank
everybody.
You.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the Health of It. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. Mention this radio show and schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny for just $47. This is a $250 value for just $47. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, call 673-5600 or check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.